Page Lamed Aleph, Sefer Hasidim. The also Lesaper Sicha. It is also to talk. This is the famous newspapers, right? In the newspapers. You should know there are people that have tremendous chus, and they spend money. I was working for an organization. We were putting in ads online in some certain websites, and I said, and the top slot were the ads for don't talk during davening, and I said we want that spot. How much does it cost for that spot? So it was a lot of money. So I said, I don't understand. What's this? Don't talk during davening. They're paying. So she said to me, you wouldn't believe how much money they're paying for these advertisements. Mm-hmm. Tremendous. Because people who are promoting, don't talk during davening. Just for that alone, we should have rachmanis on them. Huh. We should stop talk during davening. It means so much to them.
Are they successful?
I think to a degree. Well, I think there's definitely an awareness.
You know, money talks.
I think there's an awareness. Sorry?
Didn't you say that was against them?
Can you speak louder?
No, I said it. I said it, and it's true. He used to take down the signs for true.
Why?
Because he wanted it to be the show
game is
amazing.
Oh. Also, you see in shoes, in the old shoes, these are these big signs. Also, Ledaber B'Shas HaTzila. You don't see them anymore. You see in the newspapers. You don't see that anymore in the shoes. I haven't seen that sign. Also, there's a big also Ledaber B'Shas HaTzila.
You tell guys to keep quiet, and there's a big machlokes.
In the newspapers, is not that's not in shul. That's I think subconsciously. Subconsciously, you see it again, like subliminal. You know, you can't say it's a bad thing. And the people who are doing this, kol hakavod. Every week they have another rav, another rashiva who gives a message. It's remarkable how to what lengths people they take upon themselves.
But if you overdo it, people like.
I don't know. If you overdo it in shul, they're overdoing it in the newspapers. I don't know if it's possible to overdo it in a newspaper. In coming to shul, and the rabbi every week gets up and starts screaming. Okay, it gets a little bit crazy. It gets a little out of hand. But it's not in shul. This is somewhere, you know, it's in the street. I don't know. Who am I to say? But there are people that are. I'm just very inspired by how devoted some of these people are to the cause, don't talk during davening. They've already collected from so many rabbanim, so many Rosh Yeshivas. Some of them, the videos, they're short little videos, 5 minutes, 2 to 3 minutes. They're really good. You know, if you listen to them, some of them really they have what to say, and they have passion, emotion. It's remarkable. Yeah.
Talking very well. This sefer was written 1,000 years ago.
800 years ago.
So he must be written it from the experience. So they were talking shul already.
Nothing changed. Nothing changed. I remember my father used to say, my father once said, my father said that, you know, how could you talk to davening even in church? In church, lahavdol, elef, alfi, avdolis, in church, they listen, they're quiet. It's just a chil Hashem. So Balabas comes out to my father and says, Rabbi, I used to daven in the church. I wasn't for my whole life. And let me tell you, in the church we talk just the same. We talk during the sermon, we talk during this, we talk during that. It's all the same what the Jews do, the Goyim do. Don't use that argument in shul, that don't be worse than the Goyim. They also talk during the service. What?
President Bush.
He was talking during
davening. He was giving
candies
to the ladies.
Mordechai Willick, that she said if somebody behind you in a movie theater was talking about. You would tell them to shut up. This was in shuls, they put it up. He said, Matt, during davening, are you going to talk during davening? Why don't you, the same respect that you have in the movie theater, at least have that in shul?
It's true. I once went to a concert, my sister, she's a violinist, a professional violinist. So I once went to a concert where she performed, and in a chashva place, I remember my parents. So I came, I had a plastic bag, and I came up to my seat, and it made just a, it didn't make much noise. It made just a
good acoustics.
And this woman turns around, she says this during the break, it says, just, it's so disconcerting. So I said, like that plastic bag. So I said to my mother, what does disconcerting mean? What does that word mean? I got the message. She was upset that I was making noise. This was in the Fordham, the performance was in Fordham, the law school, in the Pope Auditorium. I remember it. In the Pope Auditorium. So, boy, was she upset. Okay, so you, and there's what to learn.
I had a patient who was a very theatrical sort of person, and she ran a play, I think it was Purim play, for a conservative shul. Came back, she was mispoiled. She could, how can those children play on the altar? The kids were by the Aaron Kaidish.
Yeah.
And they were playing over there. Uh-huh. They were so holy, she couldn't she understand. She couldn't,
Okay, interesting. Okay, let's learn a little bit.
In those days, the Beis HaKnesses is supposed to be said. Because
the Beis HaKnesses is much more sanctity. All the Beis Medrash. True. Everything that we have, everything that stands for Shtibel. Okay, let's see. The Asur L'Saber Sicha, it is forbidden to speak. Sicha means idle chatter. Velinoik kalos roish, and to be noik to conduct yourself kalos roish is taking a telephone beis hakneses. Is it proper to take a telephone call? Is it proper to beis hakneses when there was no one there in the shul, everyone left, the shiur is over, and to pace back and forth on the phone, talking, just stop talking? The answer obviously is no, it's not the proper thing. I do it all the time, but it's incorrect. It's the beis hakneses has sanctity, and it's not a place of kalos roish. Kalos roish means engaging in activities that are not proper. B'yamdein l'fnei malkeinu adoin kol haaretz yisparach shemoi. V'oy lohem wo l'roshoyim hanoigim kalos roish asher lo imas shakai alehem. Woe to the wicked who are noyek, who conduct themselves with levity in a holy place and have no fear of Hashem upon them. V'loy pachdoi umaroi al pneihem. There is no fear of Hashem upon their face. Obviously, he means something very deep here. Two different expressions: this pachad and this moira. What's the difference? I do not know. An expression I'll name upon the face of these individuals. Lo yavinu v'lo yichu moshul. These people, they don't understand. They don't learn. They don't learn. They don't learn any lessons. Ki ivru iechitim uru v'sboinu. Go check out what is done among in the nations of the world among the non-Jews. Ki b'chol arotzay svachim hamalachim akarim al berkehem bebeis tif lusam. The kings, they bow down on their knees in their tiflusam, in their churches. The oimdin be'ema v'pachad v'rad, and they stand with ema pachad v'rad terev v'kapem perusos le'lohehem to their gods, ma'asei le'adam, asher lo yiru v'lo yishmu. Idols, they don't hear, they don't see. Om the manach le'oimdin l'lefnei melech ma'uchi amlochem ha'kodesh baruch hu chai. V'kayom ram v'nisa yisparach shmo v'yisalez zichroi elav kol adu miyos usilos tehim HaKadosh Baruch Hu are all praises and expressions of endearment al achas kama v'kama sheyesh lanu l'amor l'fonav be'ema u'v'yira b'pachat v'rad u'v'seis all different expressions of fear, terror, and trembling v'al oisam hayashim b'beis hatfila u'marin atzvam ke'ayefim. The Einon Yecholim Lamod Alei Makos of Oimer, people who are able to stand and choose not to stand, make believe they're tired. Upon them it is said, V'loy Oisi Korosa Yaakov, you have not called out to me. Ki Yogata Bi Yisrael, you are tired of me. You view me as something which makes you weary. Kol yoima lo loe. Every day, your loy means to be weary. During the entire day, you have plenty of energy. You go to the gym. You go for walks. You have plenty of energy for all of your activities. But all of a sudden, when it comes to daven, you're too tired. Uvi'idon tzeloisei lo'e, you're tired. Kol hayoim oimed bashok, lifnei hapokid, the entire day you're standing in the street before the officer, or lifnei leit sonus echod ve'ene oyev, or you're joking around standing in the street, uvishas hatfila, eino yochol lamo, you're not able to stand.
I always...
So obviously, I'm not sure. You have to understand this. We were 800 years ago, and what exactly was the tzur of tzila then? It was obviously not the sin that it is today. I don't know. I don't know exactly what it's referring to. But I don't know exactly what it's referring to. There are different halachas. One of you mechuyif to stand. One of you mechuyif to stand. There are different customs. We know that psukim de zimra. There are certain parts that you are supposed to stand, and there are some parts that you're supposed to sit. There are people who get lazy. They sit the entire psukim de zimra. Chazar sashatz. Ideally, you're supposed to stand. Okay, but it's not so easy for everyone to stand. Again, there are minhagim. The gra sat for kriya satira. That was the minika gra. To sit. You sit for kriya satira. You're not even allowed to stand. It's not proper to stand for kriya satira. Many shuls. What? So the gra, right. So in many shuls, and there are many bati kinesios where the minik is to sit. But then there are bati kinesios, especially amongst the b'nei Torah, the minig is to stand. So if you're davening in the Beis HaKnesses, the Beis HaMedrash, where the custom is to stand, and everyone is standing, and you're sitting down, so that's a lack of derech eretz, if this is the minig. Now, if you don't have the koyach to stand, if this the custom, and this makom is to stand, you have the koyach to stand, kol hakavod, so remain seated. But if you're a gesund, a healthy person, you're just lazy, and everyone is standing, you want to sit for 20 minutes, all right, you know, to each his own. Obviously, the message is understood. We don't have to dwell upon this. One thing always comes to mind. I used to dive in a certain place where they dive in super fast, super duper fast. And there was a fellow there that it was not enough that they dive in fast. He did not tolerate any slouching. And if 1 second davening was slowing down, and the projection was that it would take shachs would take 33 minutes instead of 32 minutes, he made a scene. He literally made a scene. Okay, fine. But then when davening was over, this guy had all the time in the world. All the time in the world until he got out of shul. And we would walk home, it would be a whole... I don't understand. What are you all worked up about? If you have all the time in the world, if you're not running to the train, what are you all worked up about? That's exactly what he says over here. Consistency in your life. If a person has energy and time for things that are clearly not as valuable as davening, al achas kama v'kama, how much more so is there a tviya, is there a complaint against the person if he does not at least have their cheretz or have a consideration for davening to at least exert himself to some degree and not complain that he is tired. Next.
The difference between Yidden and Goyim go to church once a week.
Yeah.
We go three times a day.
It's a limit's chus. Okay. Okay.
No, I mean to say something that
you
used to
be accustomed to. No. Yeah,
as you get older, you realize it's hard to stand still.
It is. It's very hard. It's amazing how hard it is to have a short Esrei. You say the same words again and again every single day. It becomes in your mind a mental block.
For Nila, I always stay in the whole Nila. But going up and down sometimes.
It's harder. It all depends. I have the Chaim Berlin on Yom Ram. So there, everyone is a sardine. And getting up is literally getting out of your chair. Getting up is a lot of work, because to get up you have to shove the guy in the back to make some room to push back to get up. You have to get up. You have to fold the chair. It's an avoida. To get up, to go up and down, it's hard work. What? It's not so simple. It's a whole process. Let's go further. Hamispalel. The Nofal Sefer Lefonav Aloretz. We're not discussing a Sefer Torah. We're discussing a Chumash, a printed Sefer. You're in the middle of Shemona Esrei, and a Siddur falls on the floor. What are you to do? Are you to go and move away from your, pick up the Siddur from where, in the middle of your Shemona Esrei, and then return to your place and continue down the Shemona Esrei, or just continue and just put it out of your mind that the Siddur is on the floor? So this is a very interesting halacha. It all depends on the person. May Iker Hadin, your davening has kedima, and you should just forget about the Siddur. I'm davening Shemoyne Esrei. I am in a matzav of being oimed lifnei hamelech. I am standing before the Ribbono Shel Olam. There is nothing that is more choshuv, more valuable than this moment. Even if a Siddur falls on the floor, a chumash falls on the floor.
It's not your
sitter. A different sitter. If you don't know what the halacha is, you can walk across the roof. If you need a sitter, you need to know the halacha. If you got to say Yalla V'yavo, you got to say V'sein Talamot L'vracha, and you do not know what the halacha is, and you know that the halacha is on a piece of paper, on one of the tzetlach that someone put on the table in the back of the shul, you can walk all the way from the back to the front and read what it says, and then go back where you came from, and even ask someone. You can even go outside of the shul and make a phone call. You can go outside of the shul and make a phone call, call your local Orthodox rabbi. Rabbi, I am in the middle of Shemona Esrei. I forgot to say the same Talamot Levracha. I have concluded the bracha. What should I do? You're allowed to do that. You're allowed to do that in the middle of your Shemona Esrei. Every word you say is Litzorich the Shemona Esrei. But if you know the halacha, of course, you're not allowed to be mafsik. But look at the other extreme. If you're davening and a chumish falls on the floor, you're not allowed to be mafsik your Shemona Esrei to pick up the chumash. Because being oimei lifnei hamelech is more choshuv, is more important than moving away from your position to pick up a sitter. And it could very well be, I'm not exactly certain, but it could very well be the same halacha applies if a Sefer Torah falls on the floor. Same thing, Rachman Litzlan. Ad kedei kach. Even a Sefer Torah falls on the floor, you're not mechuyev. Being oimei lifnei hamelech is more choshuv than moving out of your place. What? Oh, that's what he says. So what is the only... This is the Iker Hadin. We have to first appreciate what the Iker Hadin is. What is the Iker Hadin? You're not allowed to be mafsik. Unless, Baruch Hashem, we have been trained that if a Sefer Torah, Chmanon Litzlan, falls on the floor, a Chumash or a Siddur falls on the floor, you immediately run to pick it up. So, our concentration is distracted. So then there's really nothing to gain by continuing the Shemona Esrei if we're not going to be able to continue davening, if we are distracted, and therefore we are permitted to leave our position, retrieve, pick up the Sefer Torah, the Chumash, the Siddur, and return.
Maybe you could turn off a Siddur, a Chumash, but a Torah.
Okay, in Chanami. In Nidrad Midaita, even a Chumash, many people can't even do that. They can't even concentrate if there's a Siddur or a Chumash lying on the floor. In Nidrad Midaitoi, the Eni Yochel Lisfalo, the Kavanah Yagbiya, the Yisfalo, the Kavanah, the Kodim Shagbi period. The Kodim Shagbiya Yisai Mabracha Sheshil Kvar. However, he tells us that before you pick up the Siddur, you should at least conclude the Baracha that you are in the middle of. The Im Hu Yochel Lechavin Lo Yagbiya Asefer Shu Ala Oretz, Shabbispal, the Kavanah Noichel Chaye Olam Abba. He adds this beautiful Maimah Chazal that why is it so? Why is it so that davening has kedima over lifting, removing the sitter? It is because a person that is mispalul kavan inherits chaye ha'olam haba. It does not say that anywhere about removing the zilzal of a sitter lying on the floor. Picking up a sitter on the floor is a very, very chosh of a thing, but it does not say anywhere in Chazal that a person will merit the next world, a portion of the next world for doing so. But davening a proper Shemoyne Esrei, one is guaranteed to be Noichel Chaye Ha'olam Haba, and that is why it goes without saying that it should be permitted. Next, Lo'olam Yashkur, Lo'olam Sakhneses, Kadesh Shigiske, V'yimoneh, Me'asar, Harishonim. By the way, before you go further, what do you do when you pick up a sefer that falls on the floor? So there are two things brought down in Chazal. Number one is to kiss it. Number two, it doesn't say to kiss it. Maybe kissing is not such a good idea, you might get sick. Okay, now it's not such a good idea always to kiss a sinner in today's day and age. Look at me, I have a terrible cold. Okay, how do I get the cold? I have no idea. Say, it's, what? Who did I kiss? Who did I kiss? Maybe I kissed you when you came back from Eretz Yisrael. Okay, so it's not necessarily a good idea to kiss Siddurim. The Koysel, I told you this many, many times, Koysel, don't kiss Siddurim at the Koysel. Never kiss a Siddur at the Koysel. 6 million people come to visit the Koysel every single year. You don't know who's coming to the Koysel. Okay, different parts of the world, all different germs. It's not a good idea. They used to put in Seamus by the Koysel, the Siddurim, every 6 months. I read this online. That was the policy by the Koysel. Every 6 months is an expiration date on every sitter. They do not allow a sitter to remain at the Kaisel more than 6 months. Because disease, no matter what condition it's in, it has to be removed. They've done studies and they found that 6 months is much too long. Now the new policy is 3 months. 3 months. You know what that cost? How much money that cost? The expense? It's a lot of money. It's a lot of money to raise that kind of money to replace the Siddurim at the Kaisel every 3 months because of health issues. Okay, so it's not a couple of years ago, the Ger Rebbe has enormous power in Eretz Yisrael. You cannot even imagine how much influence, how much power he has. He was Goyzer when Eloba broke out. He made a takana. No one is to kiss the mezuzos. Can you imagine such a takana? You go into a room, do not kiss the mezuzah. Touch it. You touch it. What?
What about Matzitza
Bebek? It's Enoch Nami, so Yesh V'Yesh. And now we're not going there, Yesh V'Yesh. Enoch Nami, that's not so similar. Those who do it, at least, they're under a lot of scrutiny today where they have to test themselves, they have to wash out their mouths, the precautions. Alcohol, okay, that's Enoch Nami. Enoch Nami, there are a lot of people that say exactly what you just said. Enoch Nami, we're not going there. That's a whole different issue. But the common man, Matzitza Bepes, you're dealing with individuals, very few people, how many mile them, but with the medical procedure, we're dealing with people, the common man, to go touch a sitter, to touch a mezuzah, it's really not so simple. Chazal is not, there's no makar to kiss a mezuzah. Makar in the Gemara is with Unkelus, he put his hand on the mezuzah. He put his hand on the mezuzah to reflect upon the mezuzah. It is brought down. It could be the Rambam. I'm not mistaken. It could be that the Rambam mentions. It could be someone, I don't remember exactly, that brings down the idea of kissing a mezuzah. But it's not a halacha. And when there's an issue of health, then of course the person should be careful. There is a minhag that when a sitter falls on the floor, you kiss the sitter. But there's a much nicer minhag. You know what the better minhag is? To open up the sefer that has fallen on the floor and to learn something from it. If a chumash falls on the floor, you pick it up, you open it up, and you learn a pasuk. A sitter. I don't know where it is. Rapam talks about it. Rapam, he has it. Rapam, they wrote over from Rapam. One of the oldest Svarim, they wrote over from Rapam. He writes about this. There are two minhagim. It's brought down in Chazal, two minhagim. You have to kiss the item which falls on the floor to learn from it. What is a mochash of a minhag? To learn what it says inside or to kiss it. Pasha, to learn. Kiss. Yeah. No, you can. Yaakov, Ayishokeyu. Yaakov kissed Esav. Right? When he met Esav. Vayishokeyu. He kissed him. He kissed him. So, did Yaakov learn from Esav? Hatzileini no miyad ochi miyad Esav. The last thing in the world is Yaakov want to learn anything from Esav, to learn from his evil ways. Learning is much more significant than kissing. So when it says here, the Sefer, interesting, over here, the Sefer falls on the floor. It is in the middle of the Shemoneh Esrei. You pick up the Sefer. Question, are you allowed to kiss it? Are you allowed to learn from it in the middle of the Shemoneh Esrei? I didn't see this anywhere, but I'm assuming the answer is no. You're not allowed to. It'll be hefsek. If you're in the middle of the davening Shemoneh Esrei and a sitter falls on the floor near you and there's no one to pick it up, if you are in control of your thoughts, you'll do nothing. You will continue to daven your Shemoneh Esrei like nothing happened, because we just learned davening being oimei lefnei hamelech, you're being noichel oilam haba. Picking up a sitter, it's a very nice thing to do, but it doesn't say anywhere in the Torah, anywhere in Chazal, that it's shakol keneged oilam haba. It's not the time. If it disturbs you to such a degree that you can no longer concentrate, you have permission to finish the bracha to go pick up the sefer, put it on the table. But it doesn't say anywhere that you have permission to kiss it. It doesn't say anywhere you have permission to open it up and to learn from it. Because that's not necessary to restore the dignity of the sefer. That would constitute a hefsek in the middle of your Shmoyne Esrei. Okay, next.
What about if something else falls? Does it have to have the...
So you're right, you are correct. You are correct. You are correct.
You're disturbed by it. Can you pick it up?
So you're asking a very good question. I don't know the answer because it could be, I'll tell you the two sides of the coin. It could be the answer is absolutely yes, because you can't concentrate. If you can't concentrate, then you're wasting your time. On the other hand, the Chazal don't always let you do whatever you want. For example, there are other examples of this. I can't recall the details, but there are other examples that are parallel to this, and you can't concentrate. That's your problem. It's a slippery slope. Oh, the coat fell on the floor. You can't concentrate. So tomorrow you'll have another excuse. There's someone giving a shiur in the other room. You can't concentrate. There's a person who you don't like is in the shul. I don't want to be in his presence. There's no end. It's a slippery slope. Sorry? There's perfume. There's no end. It comes a point in time, man up. Just concentrate and just forget it. A siddur on the floor is an exception. Chazal gave that to us as an exception. It's a davar shebekedusha, it's mutal bebezoyin, it bothers you for good reasons. Chazal gave us that as an exception. Once you're going to start coming up with your own reasons, ein ledavar saif. On the other hand, maybe you're right. Maybe if a person cannot concentrate, then what's the purpose of davening the Shemona Esrei? Where do you draw the line? I don't know. The only thing that it says that you can do is clearly a siddur falls on the floor. That is permitted. If you don't know the halacha and you need to go to the bookcase to find the halacha, permitted. If there is in front of you, let's say a child gives forth human waste, you're not allowed to daven. Then you can also leave the room. You're also allowed to move. But in these type of things where you are expected to concentrate and put yourself together, strengthen yourself, maybe not. Maybe there, you know, ad kan, you can't do it. So then don't daven with kavana. Just read the words the best that you can. How far are you going to go? You can't make the halacha into a joke. Okay, there are going to be limits. Now, even before we go further, one more thing. Sefer falling on the floor, going back. Let us say a sefer Torah falls on the floor. Do you have to fast? Now, if your tefillin, the minhag ha'olam today, without question, is if your tefillin fall on the floor, ideally you should fast. However, it is super duper easy to get a heter. To get a heter from a rav, not to fast and to give tzedakah instead for a tefillin falling on the floor. I'm talking about tefillin, not in their case. If your tefillin bag falls on the floor, that's nothing. Then you give that nothing, but you give tzedakah. You give a quarter. That's more than enough. But if your tefillin fall on the floor after you've taken your tefillin out of their box, outside the box, and the tefillin fall on the floor, then, ideally, you should fast. If you cannot fast, then giving tzedakah is sufficient. Certainly, if you're learning, and fasting would take you away from learning, there's nothing to discuss. And then giving tzedakah certainly is an option. If you're not learning, you're working, and fasting does not necessarily conflict with your type of work. Again, ideally a person should fast. If you cannot fast, it's too hard. Giving stock is sufficient. If a sefer Torah falls on the floor, there's no room to wiggle. You have to fast. There's nothing to discuss. The only heter is if you did not see it personally. If you were in a room where the sefer Torah fell, you were in a shul, where the sefer Torah fell, and you were in the back, and you were talking. You were in the back, and it was hagba, or whatever the situation, or they did, they would do psicha, and you're all spaced out, And all you heard, all of a sudden you hear a commotion, and you heard that when they did psicha, the Sefer Torah fell on the floor. So ideally, everyone in the shul should fast. B'diavad, the only ones who have to fast are the people who actually saw with their own eyes the Sefer Torah fall on the floor. If there are 10 people who saw, and they fast at the same time, they can say Anenu and Elein Vayichal. If they come together, then 1 minute. Same thing, he's no different. He's no different than the one. He's no different than the one who actually saw. So the Sefer Torah falls during davening. There really is no room again. That the only heter is if you did not actually see it. If you did not actually see, you're in the back. Now, what happens if the Sefer Torah fell, but every single moment of time, this happens often, there's someone holding on to it. In other words, let's say someone does Hagba, and it falls. But even when it's on the floor, Mamish on the floor, but he's still holding it. It wasn't let go of. Okay, so that's also a heter. I've heard that also, that if someone is still holding on, actually, you know where I heard this heter from? Tonight, they're giving Rabbi Avraham Chaim Levine, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, he was the Telzer Rosh Yeshiva. Tonight, he was Nifter 30 days ago. Today is day 29. Tonight is a Shloshim. I know his children. I know his son. Telzer Rosh Yeshiva, Chicago. He was very involved in many Yonim of the Klal, Torah Mesorah. Tonight, Torah Mesorah is having spade by Beryl Wine and Rabbi Shmuel Dishon. And Rabbi Mordechai Levine, his son, who I know, who lives around the corner from me, they're being masked with him tonight in their headquarters. It's going to be broadcast live. Three has spayed him tonight. And Thursday, there's going to be a very long program in Rabbi Leif Shul, the Agudan Avenue L. There's going to be a very, very big program. Also has spayed him for Rabbi Aaron Chaim Levine. I remember years ago when the Sefer Torah fell in Yeshiva Flatbush. Rabbi Aaron Chaim Levine's daughter who is married to Rabbi Levine, taught in Yeshiva Flatbush for many years. She no longer works there. What? No, his daughter. His daughter, Brian. His daughter-in-law, correct, I'm sorry. His daughter-in-law. His daughter-in-law used to teach in Yeshiva Flatbush for many years. How do you know?
Who's my neighbor?
Her neighbor, so Brian. She taught in Yeshiva for many, many years. And there was a maisa there where Sefer Torah Yeshiva Flatbush fell on the floor. And they didn't know what to do. And she was right there. I don't know if she was there. So she said she'll right away ask her father-in-law. And she called up her father-in-law in Chicago. And he asked to tell me exactly what happened. And she told him what happened. And they said that the person who dropped the Sefer Torah, he was still holding on to the Atzei Chaim.
Wow.
Even though it was on the floor, he was still holding on to the Atzei Chaim, and he says you don't have to fast.
Wow.
You give tzedakah is enough. If it was completely released from your hand on the floor, then you have to fast. Someone was still holding it, you don't have to fast. Yeah. Into a holder. Yes.
So the rabbi Poland.
Never should be put in the holder anymore. And it fell out?
Nobody wants to have it.
Yeah.
Okay. And then he says another, and everybody in Shul should never take off the talus before the davening is over.
That was his thing before that.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
But it cost us $25. Those of us who are up in Kiddush Club.
In the Kiddush Club. And what about the people who actually saw it?
I don't know.
Well, that's what I mentioned a few times already in RJJ and Simchas Torah at night. Sefer Torah was from the dancing. Nobody was watching it. They had a couple of swarm on the bima. And as the floor shook, which happened at that time, where the floor should be like 200 people bouncing up and down, the Sefer Torah literally popped off the shoe button and landed on the floor. It was late at night. They ran to Rav Moshe to ask him what to do. And he asked everybody, he had to ask, where were you standing? Like you said, where were you standing when it happened? Who saw it? Who didn't see it? And there were a lot of people, he told them they have to fast. And some people who had their back and they were like, shmooed with their hakafas, that they didn't have to fast. Basically, everyone in the room, he gave them a certain amount of, like that. But they left it. It was Shia because they,
who said somebody should have been standing at the bima watching this at great Torah? That it shouldn't happen.
I was a kid. I was in charge of the old man up said to Simchas Torah.
Yeah.
And the Rav says everybody has to fast, but you can pick your own day. I pick one of these election days. It's short, but you have to be calm and fast before me.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, you have to say. Say your point.
You told that if it's wrong, falls down and someone is another wrong talking. Maybe for his sin, maybe the telephone. It should also be for the Acharei Rabin Rato to fast. Why is not?
This is the halacha. Rabbi Yisrael, review the rules. The rules are tefillin. If a mezuzah falls off, Rabbi Yisrael, if a mezuzah falls off the door, you don't fast. I never even heard giving tzedakah. I never even heard that. You have to give tzedakah. I never even heard such a thing. Tefillin fall on the floor outside their case. The minig is to give tzedakah. Ideally, one should fast, but the minig oilim is very makel for tefillin. Sefer Torah falls. So the rules are, the general rules that we're familiar with is the person, whoever sees it, has to fast. If you don't see it, you're in the room, you don't have to fast. Obviously, you should give tzedakah. When it fell on the floor, someone was still holding it to the very last on the floor, then it appears from Rabbi Levine that you do not have to fast. You should give tzedakah. Now, there's one thing that I don't know the answer to. I just want to throw this out, and you find this principle in different areas. There's a difference in sanctity. There's a difference between the time when you're davening versus the time when you're not davening. Let me give you two examples. Are you allowed to kiss your children or grandchildren in shul?
No.
Not so fast. Not so fast. The answer is definitely no when you're davening. B'shas tefillah, from the time the Shliach Tzibur begins, the Birchos HaShachar, until the final Adon Olam, it is categorically forbidden to kiss your children and grandchildren. Because now is the time when you're davening. You're in the Beis HaKnesses, and you're davening. You're not allowed to show any love to anyone other than the Ribbono Shel Olam. Davening is over. The president has made the announcements. And everyone is now filing out. And your grandchildren show up. Are you allowed to kiss them? It could very well be that you are allowed to. The prohibition of kissing children is only B'shas tefillah in the Beis HaKnesses. If you're not davening, even though you are in the Beis HaKnesses, it does not appear, according to all opinions, it is forbidden to kiss children in the Beis HaKnesses. Number two, are you allowed to touch the parchment of the Sefer Torah? Obviously not, right? No one would ever touch the parchment of the Sefer Torah. But it's cited, and Paiskim, I've seen this, is that the only time that is really usur is when you lain during Kriyas HaTorah. But when it's not during laning, the sofer is writing for Shabbat. Even let's say the sofer, let's say that you've been goyel on the Sefer Torah. It's not davening now. It's davening. The gaboyim come before Shachris, and then you go the Sefer Torah, and they want to touch the parchment to maneuver it to get it, that it should be lined up. It shouldn't get ruined, crushed. So they take a talus, to move it. Do you really need to take a talus not to touch the parchment of the Sefer Torah when it's not the time of davening, not the time of Kriyas HaTorah? Me'ikar adin it's mutar. What? So have a glila somewhere in the middle. Mitzad echad, it's not Kriyas HaTorah. Mitzad sheni, have a glila, it's all part of Kriyas HaTorah. This is the Zoyas HaTorah. So that's why everyone is very machmir. You're not going to change that. The minhag olam is ha'ayim galila. You're not going to touch the parchment. You're going to use a talus unless it gets really out of hand. An emergency, then you can use your hands. No one's going to make a hard time. So there is such a principle that I already two examples that the halacha mi'ikar hadin is only b'sha'as tzfila. B'sha'as tzfila, you're not allowed to touch the parchment. B'sha'as tzfila, you're not allowed to kiss your children. But if it's not during davening, even though you're in a shul, there's no prohibition to kiss your children. There's no prohibition to touch the parchment of the Sefer Torah when you're being goyelet. So my dilemma is, if you haven't been to Seifrim, you'll be horrified to what you see goes on, by Seifrim. Okay? Especially when you have like teams of Seifrim. There are Sifrei Torah literally hanging from the ceiling. Literally hanging from the ceiling, stashed away here, there. Some places you're stepping on Sefer Torah. It's horrifying. Even by good cipher that are very well organized. That's just the way it is. That's the nature of the business. Okay, there are a lot of things going on, and it gets very hectic, and things are haggled over the place. You'll be horrified. Covenant of the Sefer Torah. You brought up with the covenant of the Sefer Torah. Not here, buddy. The covenant of the Sefer Torah is in the shul, is in the Beis HaKnesses, the Shashkriyas HaTorah. This is a factory here. We follow halacha. Everything is l'shem, kedusha, Sefer Torah, kedasu, chedin. But the covenant element, we have different standards here in the factory. We understand that. Okay, you go to Rachman, people go for surgery. There's no covenant in the operating room. Okay, a person is bare. There's no covenant. That's the way it is. When the doctors deal with the patient, they do what they need to do. There's no such thing as covenant. When they deal with Sefer Torah, when they write the Sefer Torah and they work with them, they just take it by the parchment. They touch it, they do what they need to do. You bring a Sefer Torah, you bring a letter. So the first thing Sefer Torah does, he takes his hand, he starts rubbing the letter. What are you rubbing the letter? If you do that in shul, they would kill you. Have a Sefer Torah on the bima, don't touch. There's a shiloh, you bring it to Sefer Torah, he takes it. I know what I'm doing. I'm the doctor here. I know what I'm doing. It's a whole different world. So my dilemma is, this that we have a halacha, if a Sefer Torah falls on the floor, you have to fast, is that only during tefillah? B'shas ha-tefillah? Psicha. You open up the aron. Rachmana litzlan, the Sefer Torah falls out. The guy is walking, he trips, it falls on the floor. Hagba, it falls. During, this is serious business. You got to fast. But let's say it's before davening, and the Gaboyim are Mingoyal Sefer Torah, and the rabbi is giving a shiur on the side, and the Mingoyal is 5 to 9, the Mingoyal Sefer Torah, and the guy, as he walks up, because he trips, and the Sefer Torah falls down on the floor. Oh! And the rabbi looks up, and the Sefer Torah is on the floor, and people are coming in from shul. Are you mechuyev to fast? I'm not so sure you're mechuyev to fast. It's not b'shas tefillah. It's not b'shas tefillah. It's not b'shas tefillah. It's a terrible thing, obviously. Sefer Torah fell on the floor. It could very well be that situation where the Sefer Torah fell on the floor does not have the same standards as when it falls on the floor when you do psicha, hagba, kriyas haTorah during b'shas tefillah. B'shas tefillah is a different tekufa. There are different standards.
That would include even b'shas hakafas during their kafas?
Good question. That's a tough question. That's what I always wondered. B'shas hakafas, what status do hakafas have? We find, look, I'll give you a mashal. A mashal, this is a very big, no one knows, we have to stop there. What hakavas, do you have to stand when the Sefer Torah is in motion? So the answer is, you bet. The only time you have to stand, Nikra Adin, is when they take out the Sefer Torah and they put the Sefer Torah back. You don't have to stand for Kriya Satara. The Gra didn't stand for Kriya Satara. There's a minhag by B'nai Torah, they stand for Kriya Satara. Okay, it's a very strong minhag to stand. You don't have to. When are you mechuyev to stand? When the Sefer Torah is not al mekoymai. When the Sefer Torah is in motion. Is in motion. So hakafas, everyone is up in arms. How could it be hakafas? You go to a shul, they have a long hakafas. Dancing and dancing and dancing. Sefer Torah is going around and around. And everyone is sitting. You can't. So what do they say? Listen, Simchas Torah, what do you want from me? We're only human beings. It's too much, you have to sit. Alright, that's the answer. And then there were Gedolei Yisrael, they were very takamakbit. They stood and they walked out. And in some shuls, they only do our kafas just a little bit and they put it on the bima, adkan. But what always bothered me, I never saw this inside, is maybe the inyan, vayhi bin soya ha'orain. Let me ask you a question. The soifer, he's working in his office. Go to Teferes Stam. They have there, it's very beautiful because it's one of the only places in America where they have a team of soifrim who work together. Okay, it's not a good go you have a soifer living in a basement, you're all alone. You know what happens, you're all alone. It's very it's a very beautiful thing. We have a group of people who work together. Ish Esrayu Yoy Mechazak. You have a group of people who work together, they mechazak each other. So you have there a mamish, a team of people working together. And a guy, every few minutes, there's more action. A guy walks in with a new Sefer Torah. Sefer Torah, I got a delivery of a new Sefer Torah, or they brought it from a shul to have it fixed. You're telling me that the Sofrim there, every time they bring in the Sefer Torah, they stand up? They stand up? The guy is sitting there at his desk there, they're working, and the guy, another guy brings in a new, a customer walks in with the Sefer Torah, it needs to be corrected. Or they know they want new Atzei Chaim, or this ripped. And the Sefer by his desk, every time he stands up?
It's possible. It's possible.
No, sometimes it's not possible. They bring a new Sefer Torah? No. Even if it's not possible, you have to stand. I'm sorry, Rabbi said, they don't stand up. They don't stand up when they bring in Sefer Torah when they're working. They don't bring, oh, but it's by Yehi bin Soya Ha'orain Vayayama, Kuma Hashem, Via Fut Soya Chavinusso. How come they don't stand up? It's not B'shas Tefillah. It's B'shas work. There are different standards. So my dilemma is, same exact thing. Hakafas, maybe Hakafas is no chiv to stand. Is Hakafas really Tefillah? Hakavah is a minuk. It's a new minuk. It's a modern minuk. It's 400 years old. It's a new minuk. Is it, we do it in the middle of davening. We don't do it in the middle of davening. Everyone is manipulating. When you do hakavah, how you do hakavah? Is hakavah really a chelik of tefillah that has the same standard of vayehi bin soyah aroin that you have to stand? That's my dilemma. Okay, so reviewing these yisoidais, kissing children, it could very well be as mutter when you're not davening. Touching the parchment is mutter when it's not davening. So likewise, the halacha that you must fast when a Sefer Torah falls, I don't know the answer. Is it only true me ikar adin b'shas tefillah? When it's not b'shas tefillah, there are different standards. Number two, hakafas, walking around with the Sefer Torah. Are you mechuyif to stand? Is that called part of davening? Maybe yes, maybe not. These are dilemmas which I don't think we're going to find answers to. 100%.
As if it's full, right?
100%. But the halachas of the cover you give it are not the same.
When Moshe Rabbeinu,
so long, yeah.
When they're writing the Sefer Torah, does it have the plots all connected in the scroll form?
No. One parchment at a time.
One parchment at a time.
Out of convenience. Only out of convenience. Easy to maneuver.
When Moshe Rabbeinu broke the luchos, Yehoshua was standing, he did fast.
Did Yeshua fast? Did Yeshua see the luchos? The whole klal Yisrael saw the luchos. Vo'eshbar le'nechem, it says in the pasuk. The whole klal Yisrael saw Moshe Rabbeinu shared the luchos. Does it say anywhere they fasted? Interesting question. I'm not aware. He killed 30. They killed 3,000 people.
Moshe Rabbeinu yishar koach.
But what? Moshe fasted for 40 days. He went to Shemayim for 40 days.
It was before Matan.
Okay, I don't know. You're asking a good question. Moshe was Shabrem Leinechem, it says in the Torah. He shouted in front of the whole Klal Yisrael. Does it say anywhere? But the truth is, I think that's the makor why we fast. Me'ikar HaDin is brought in the Medrash that if a Sefer Torah falls, he's supposed to fast how many days? 40 days. 40 days. What?
It doesn't bring that down.
The Medrash. I think it's a medrash.
Yes.
Not sure. No, of course not. Of course
not.
You're a lot of you. In Hilchos Beis HaKnesses.
Yeah.
Says that only about one kissing not children.
Yeah.
But Rav Moshe was asked by his Lalowitz, his father. He was asked why he kisses his grandchildren in the Beis Medrash. So he said that din is only by Hilchos Tefillah, not in Hilchos Beis HaKnesses.
Exactly. Right. Who's it? Rav Moshe said this?
Rav Moshe said,
I told you came from Rav Moshe. The iser to kiss your children is b'shas tefillah, not b'shas beis hakneses. So I want to and I told you to touch the parchment. It's brought down in Shulchan Aruch. It's forbidden b'shas kriyas haTorah.
Right.
It's not b'shas. So my dilemma is these halachas of a sefer Torah falling down, the halachas of standing for a sefer Torah, the covering of a sefer Torah, is this miyuchid for Hilchos Tefillah, or is it applied regardless?
No, only by Hilchos Tefillah.
Well, that's a dilemma. That's so simple. That's what it doesn't say explicitly like it. It's a dilemma. The Sofrim certainly don't give the Sefer Torah the covet that it deserves. Go into a shop, you'll see what I mean. Okay, they're not fasting every time the Sefer Torah falls down in their shop, believe me. And they're not standing up when it comes in. So does that apply other Yonim? I do not know. We have to stop here. We're going to learn a Shil Gemara about Yeshu HaNoitzri.
Quick question. Does this need, I think this needs a
The mezuzah? This is the door he comes in. No, but here and here. He's coming in my son's apartment.
Coming in this way?
Coming in like this. This is the door.
Oh, you're coming in. You're coming in the door. Yeah. No.
Even though it's closed.
Well, what's on top? Is on top? Is he on top of the mashkoif?
I mean,
I don't see. I need, oh, I see here. I need the whole picture. I have a, I need to see here. It's on top. No.
Yeah. No. But it's got to be like a...
It was the other way around.
It was like an arch or something. But it's just all right.
If you go the other way, you go this way.
He's going out.
It's not like
coming in.
No, not a chumash. What are you talking about?
That's it.
Just texting his
class. That halakha applies to like a
filler.
I'm going to check again.
I'm just saying that's
what I'm going to check again. I believe not.
No,
you need this picture.
Check and I believe not. Okay.
You need this picture.
No, it's a slippery slope.
If someone comes into shoes, you want to say shalom aleichem to the next week.
No davening. I'll talk to him. Awesome. No davening. Forbidden.
I can tell you again when Rav Moshe went on. He stood up in the middle of davening.